All right. You can turn with me to Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. So we're past where MacArthur ended his book. And so this week we'll look at these two verses on Phoebe, and then next week Titus 2 will kind of be our kind of summary of New Testament and really everything we've studied so far. So Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, I'll read it for us. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. That's fine. I like the sound. As I was thinking about the text this week and thinking about the week we just experienced and how it seemed like every day was part of this kind of this new kind of American consumerism Holy Week that we kind of are experiencing. You know, Wednesday is a great travel day, and then Thanksgiving, and then Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and then this new thing, if you've heard of it, Giving Tuesday. This is a new move. It just was started last year, and the idea is to promote something that goes in contrast to consumerism. So they call it Giving Tuesday, to give towards really anything, right? A charitable organization, a ministry, something like that. And so it's a neat thing. It's a good thing. I think it's telling that, of course, it comes after everything else, right? Because I know you couldn't do a Giving Tuesday. It's usually before Thanksgiving. It needs to be when everyone is already feeling guilty over all of their consumerism. And so, yeah, that's right. There's kind of, we spend all the time and money we have on ourselves and our family and our friends, and then whatever's left over, right, that's what we're willing to give. That's not the biblical view of giving and of service. And Phoebe, even in these two verses, is an example to us of a biblical view of service and of giving. The text doesn't tell us much about her. I mean, Lydia, there wasn't much about Lydia last week. This is even less about Phoebe. It tells us really one thing. She is commended for service and giving and helping. So that's going to be the theme. That's what we're focused on, is the lessons of service that we learn from Phoebe. Before we get into that, there are some introductory matters to the text to cover. You let me run through just some key points real quick. Her name is Phoebe. We don't know much about her at all. This is a Gentile woman. This is a pagan name, actually. And so her name, she didn't change her name when she was converted, but she is a sister. She's not, remember, Paul's the author of Romans, but this isn't Paul's biological sister. This is a sister in Christ. She serves the church at Cenchrea. That is a port city near Corinth. And so she's, Corinth for 1st, 2nd Corinthians. She's near there in a port city. There's a church there, and that's where she serves. So Paul is writing. He says in the first word, he commends her to the church in Rome, that the church in Rome would welcome Phoebe when she arrives in Rome. They would care for her. They would take care of her needs. Why? Well, first of all, she's a sister in Christ, right? That should be reason enough. But also because of her character and her service as a helper of many and as a servant, and we'll get to that in a second, in the church. The real reason you may know of Romans 1 and of Phoebe is this is a proof text in the debate over women deacons. So there are two disputed words in this text that we need to cover, but it's not going to be central to our teaching. The first is the word servant. So you see in the first verse, Phoebe is a servant. And my Bible has a little footnote next to that. If you go down to the footnote in verse, down to the bottom of your Bibles, it says, or deaconess. But that is actually not the Greek word deaconess. The Greek word here is the word for deacon. So it's masculine, singular, deacon. And so the big question, right, the million-dollar question is, does this refer to the church, the official church office of a deacon? We believe in two church offices, the deacon and the elder. Or does it refer to a general sense of service? And the reason there is debate is because the word is used in both those ways throughout the New Testament. It's actually used in a third way, and we'll see that in a second. So it is a bit of an ambiguous term. And if this was the only text we had in all of Scripture to figure out what a deacon is, we'd kind of be in trouble, right? Because it is an ambiguous text. I don't think from this text alone you can make any kind of grand conclusions on that. In James, he uses this word to refer to an actual hired servant. So that's actually a third thing this could be. It could be that Phoebe is an actual hired servant. That's not likely at all. Let me read. Actually, turn with me. I want to show you all a different passage. Matthew 20, as you turn. This is I want to show how this term, this word deacon, can be used to mean service. Because that's how there are dozens of occurrences of this word in the New Testament, where it is not translated for the office of deacon, but it's translated as a servant. So look at Matthew chapter 20, just verses 26 and 28. This is a familiar passage, just going to change one word as I read it. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your deacon. And whoever will be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be deaconed, but to deacon, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that's the same word that's used right here, that Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to deacon, right, to do this general service. Jesus was not the first of the office of deacons in the church, but he served. And that term of service is to deacon. So, what does that leave us with this text? One biblical principle that we can apply here is that we should interpret description like this in light of prescription. So when the Bible describes a certain situation that is unclear, if there is another text that has a prescription or a command or an explicit instruction, we should use that to help us understand the narrative or understand the description. And in fact, there are other passages in the Bible that talk about deacons and give the characteristics of a deacon. And one of those is a deacon is to be a male. It's in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Those passages seem to, and I believe, and this church believes, and our denomination believes, that those passages reserve the office of deacon for males. So what does that mean here? Most likely, I think it means that Phoebe is one who serves the church in deacon-like work, right? She doesn't hold the office of a deacon, but so does everything else, right? And the fact that she's committed first, she might even do even more than those who actually hold the office of deacon. So she is someone who does the work, any work, in any line of work, but doesn't have the office or the recognition. That person is to be commended, aren't they? And so Phoebe is one of those examples for us. She does this work of service in the church, most likely without this official office. So she is a servant in the church. The second word, it's not really that controversial, but some would make it so. She is a patron of many. This word patron, it can carry a legal sense, and so someone almost like a legal guardian. That's not a one-to-one translation. That's kind of an example in our day, who would have kind of authority. And so some would read this and say, Paul is calling Phoebe a patron to many and to himself. So she is his patron. She is kind of over him. She has kind of some sort of authority over him. She is a leader over him. And so some would take this to mean she is not only a deacon, but she's also some sort of elder or leader in the church. That's a fairly progressive view. That is not, no one I read a lot about this passage, holds that view, or just kind of describing it. It's the only place this word patron appears in the New Testament. It's the only place this New Testament word appears.
I had an NIV and it doesn't say patron.
Verse 2, it probably says helper.
Yeah.
Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, the ESV says patron.
Okay. Maybe
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, we'll get there. But yeah, it absolutely is. I think helper is a broader term, and so patron is a little bit more of a foreign term for us, which is why the NIV would translate it helper. But it's a stretch to say she was in any sense Paul's leader or authority. It's a stretch in the context. It's a stretch grammatically. It's a stretch theologically. This is not the kind of place where I think I need to justify that she was not Paul's authority. But just to let you know, those are two words that are kind of disputed in this text. And what's sad about this is oftentimes when there is a disputed text, everyone focuses in on what's not the main point. And there's a big hullabaloo about that. And we miss, Phoebe's actually a pretty incredible woman. And we know two verses about her, but there's a lot to be gleaned in these two verses. So if you guys want to talk about those two words later, we can do that, but I don't want to focus on that here. Phoebe is a woman honored by Paul because she is a deacon and a patron. She serves and she helps. So that's what we know about her. Now, what do we learn from her about service in the church? So I want to ask three questions of the church and service and see how Phoebe helps us answer those. So the first question is this: where is the church served? Where is the church served? I want to see two things, two answers to that. First, the church is served in the local body. So where is Phoebe? She is a servant of the church. But the text doesn't stop there. It's important. She is a servant of the church at Cenchrea. I don't know much about Cenchrea. Less about the church at Cenchrea. We know there is a Christian church there that has been planted. It probably meets in Phoebe's home. Right? That's probably one of the ideas of her being a patron. But there is a local church in a specific city, and that's the church that she serves. She is not a servant in the broad church. She's not a servant kind of in the general sense of the church, right? She's not a service kind of server in her community. No, she is a servant of this particular church. And that is an important distinction. And I think it's important for us today because Christianity is very much individual, and Christian ministries, what's exalted usually is parachurch ministries over actual church ministries. And so I think Phoebe is a challenge for us to serve the church where we are, because I can tell you one thing about the church at Cenchrea. It had sinful people in it, and God was working in it by his grace. Have you ever had this thought that you want to love and serve Christ, but the church keeps getting in the way? or Christians keep preventing you from doing that. Phoebe is a challenge for us, a challenge to us, right, to serve in the local church where we are. Now, that's not to teach kind of some Catholic church as an institution and we bow down to the church and whatever she says goes. But the other extreme that we're closer to being guilty of in our country today, I think, is an over-spiritualization of the church and of not serving and plugging in where it's messy, right, but where the Lord is indeed at work. So she serves the local body at Cenchrea. And then the second place the church is served is in the members of that body. So the second thing it says about Phoebe, she didn't only serve in the church. She is a patron of many, or a helper of many. So we can learn a couple things from that word. What we know is at least she doesn't help just a few people. She helps many. Whatever that means, she helps many. She helps a lot. There were poor or needy people. Phoebe had something to help them with, and she helped many of them. She sought out the poor and needy to help and serve them. The church is so much more than building a building and programs, isn't it? And Phoebe serves the people in the church. She, like I said earlier, she probably hosted the church, but her ministry extended beyond just a building, right, into the lives of people. How do we really help people? Well, you really have to know what they need, right? Just throw money at a problem. So Phoebe not only opened her home and kind of the church as an institution served it, but also the people in the church, knowing and loving and serving them. So the church is served in an actual place to real people. I don't know if y'all have done this yet, but we picked out our Christmas tree last week. And you know that experience, if you do this, my parents have gone to the plastic tree route. They just, and some of y'all may be there. So no, I'm not critical or anything. I just, we got to have our Charlie Brown Christmas tree. But you know kind of the search for that perfect Christmas tree, right? They're too tall, they're too short, they're too fat, they're too thin, they're crooked. I mean, this is cliche, but Ellie said it last week. That tree does not have enough room for the presents under it. So, that's right. So you got, I thought we could trim some of the lower branches. And you know, that perfect tree, you never quite find it, right? We can be like that in serving the church, I think. We want to find the perfect church. We want to find the perfect ministry in the church. So we want to find that church that's not too big and it's not too small, and I'll serve there. That other church that's not kind of too legalistic but doesn't allow a bunch of messy people in. We want to find that church that preacher that preaches the gospel, but he's also funny, or the preacher who tells good stories, but doesn't talk too much about himself, right? We want to find kind of the perfect balance, this perfect church. And just like the perfect Christmas tree, that perfect church doesn't exist. Although it always looks better on the other side of the fence. Just like when you go to a Christmas tree farm, they all look good until you get up close to them.
If you go to church on Sunday and the church totally perfect, you know you're
going
to die and you're going to
heaven. That's probably right. That's probably exactly right. So we know that didn't stop Phoebe, right, from serving in her church. And it is true, I think, that we do have a tendency to look over, you know, the grass is greener over there. And, you know, churches look great on paper, or they look good on a website, right? Or they look... you know, our building campaign pictures look awesome, but those buildings are going to be filled with sinful people. We all know that, right? Well, that's our prayer, at least. We are called to serve where the Lord places us, in an actual church to actual people. And I think that's a lesson we learned from Phoebe. The second question of service in the church is, how is the church served? How is the church served? And let me list three: physical service, financial service, and spiritual service. Physical service. Paul is in this letter, he's writing it obviously to the Roman church. Why do you think he starts verse 16 commending Phoebe to them? Why is she first? Well, most likely, it's because she was actually the one carrying the letter. So we think Phoebe was actually the letter deliverer. So the Roman church would have opened it, they would have read this letter, and they would have gotten to verse 16 and said, "Oh, you're Phoebe. Oh, we're supposed to welcome you, right? Yeah, how do you do, right?" Maybe you should have put it earlier on. Phoebe's standing out in the cold until verse chapter 16. So Phoebe is probably the letter carrier here, right? She's probably the male deliverer. And so she is serving the church in a real and physical way. Right? Now, Phoebe, probably, if she's a patron, she's probably well-to-do. Again, like many of these women, a husband is not mentioned, so possibly she's an elderly widow. How do you think she could have responded if Paul came to her and said, "Can you take this letter to Rome?" "That's not my job." That's not my job, and I know I, at least, so I suspect some of you are going to be guilty of thinking that or saying that in your own heart about physical service and the church. The church has physical needs, right, as a local church, right? You know, repairs, decorating, serving meals, cleaning, planning. I mean, all of that kind of physical need. And then individual members within the church also has physical needs. Meals, cleaning, rides to church, you know, maybe hosting visitors or new members or whatever it might be. There are obviously physical needs, right, and the church local and as the individuals of that same church body. And so are you guilty of seeing physical needs and saying, that's not my job? No, my job is, and pardon me for saying this, the spiritual director of WIC. I'm not calling you out. But, or my job is XYZ. That's their job.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm the minister of discipleship. That's really not in my area. And having that's not my job approach, I don't think that would have been on Phoebe's lips. In two verses, it's kind of full of different ways in which she helped and served the church. So physical service. The second type of, a second way the church is served is financial service. And we looked at this 2 weeks ago with Lydia, so I'm not going to cover this too much. Lydia probably had the church, was meeting in her home. And so Phoebe, the church probably meeting in her home. What does it mean if you're sacrificing your home for a church to meet? You're probably sacrificing money, right? You're sacrificing time. Time is money. So there's the financial service. She is giving most likely towards the church and also as a patron of many. So she's financially helping many others within the church. You know, financially helping a church, it was funny. I was in Syracuse, whenever it was, 2 weeks ago, and at their Sunday school, they had something called family time where the pastor was actually explaining the church budget to them. And he had a little couple minutes on financial giving, and his point was giving to the church is an act of faith because these are his words, is you take money out of your own pocket and you give it to a bunch of knuckleheads and ask them, just have to figure out the best way to use it, and you know loving it. Of course, he loved his session and was making fun of himself, but that's, in a sense, there is that giving towards the work of the church is an act of faith, and we see Phoebe, financial service. And then thirdly, spiritual service. It's not explicit here, but I would have to imagine that if Paul asks Phoebe to deliver his letter, if she's the first one he mentions in his list, and he calls her a helper for many, she is not only a financial benefactor, right? Phoebe's not just some kind of blank check that just pays Paul whatever just to be nice. You have to imagine this kind of commendation of the woman, that her help would be include physical and financial, but also some spiritual as well. So three quick ways that the church is served spiritually. The first is prayer. These are all obvious. Prayer lays the groundwork, right, for the work of the church. Prayer breaks down strongholds. Prayer opens hearts. It opens ears. The ministry of the church is impossible without prayer. And so here's three M's for you to pray for, which I'm sure you already do. The members of the church, the ministries of the church, and the ministers of the church. The members, the ministries, and the ministers. So essentially just take your church directory and your church bulletin, and there's your prayer list, right, as far as the spiritual service in the church. I heard this example once about prayer that when, my phone's never rang in here. It rang last week for those of you who weren't here. then military strategy, right? This is back when wars were actually fought, kind of with two armies face to face, about taking a beach or taking a fort or taking a city before the general would send in the troops, right, or send in the military. They would first bomb that beach, or they would bomb that city, or they would bomb that fortress. And so, prayer is in a sense that pre-bombing, right, before the troops move in, right? And so before the sermon is preached, or before the Bible study is held, or before the fellowship event, or before the outreach event, right, before kind of the troops on the ground go and do that, prayer should goes before, in a sense, softening the ground, preparing the ground for that which is to come next. And so the vital importance of spiritual service in the church. I'm sorry, it's prayer as a spiritual service in the church. Second spiritual service, discipleship. The work of the church is to grow her members in the gospel. How are you involved in the discipleship of the church? Intentional relationships, honest conversations, one-on-ones, of course, prayer for the needs of others. We're going to talk about this next week in Titus 2. And then a third spiritual service will be evangelism. The work of the church is to spread the gospel, right? And so how are you involved in that? How would the church look different? How is the church different when people are regularly sharing the gospel with friends and family and neighbors? And so the spiritual service in the church does meet in a building, but it is so much, right, obviously more than that. You know, those little kids, here's the church and the steeple, open the doors, and here's people. That's so true, right? And so to be involved in the church is both to serve her physical needs. We don't want a building that's crumbling and falling down the hill. But also to be involved in the spiritual service of the church as well. So that's how the church is served, physically, financially, and spiritually. There are many more ways, but there is not there much more time. And so those are three ways. Finally, how should you serve the church? How should you serve the church? And I say this understanding who I'm talking to. You all already serve the church. This is what I like about this. This is already set. This is not my idea to come in and tell you all to serve more. This is just what the passage was about. How should you, how should we, how should the members serve the church? Two ways, sacrificially and specifically. Sacrificially and specifically. We've already seen this. Phoebe, to help others, to travel, to give financially, to give physically, to give spiritually, she would have had to sacrifice her own stuff, her own time, her own money. The church is an, the opposite of a club, right, where you go to a club in order, because of your own interest, because if that provides you, we would serve a club because there would be a benefit to get out of it, right? Of course, the church, we do get so much out of the church, but we go to serve in order that the church might be built up, in order that her members might grow and be blessed. And so I would ask if you have certain idols that prevent you from wholehearted service in the church. Do you have idols that prevent you from wholehearted service in the church? And then secondly is specifically. We know that Stevie's service was specific. She picked up a letter and she delivered a letter. She took money out of her own pocket and she gave it to other people. Right? There were this wasn't kind of an over-spiritualized service in the church. She saw specific needs and fulfilled them. There are real and tangible ways that you have been gifted, right? Scripture tells us that we have gifts. We are gifted in order to serve the church. We're not gifted that we can enjoy our own gifts, right? We are gifted to build up the body, to strengthen the church, to encourage, to challenge, to love the church. We have been gifted to serve, and oftentimes that means I need to figure out my three gifts and then go find a church that needs my three gifts. I think Phoebe is the other way around. Find a church that needs her members and then find my gifting through service. Go, and of course, we are gifted in different ways. We should know our gifting in different ways. But we understand how we are gifted through the needs of the church that God has placed us in. If you leave a church that you've been there, that God has placed you in because you're gifted and need to be somewhere else, that's probably not a right understanding of what the spiritual gifts are for. They're for building up the church that you are in. So find the need and serve. So we come back to Giving Tuesday, Black Friday, what was it, Small Business Saturday,
yeah.
Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday. We joke about that schedule, and it's me, and then whatever's left over. But it can be so true for our hearts. And so let me just ask this in closing. Do you bring to God and His church the first fruits of your time, of your money, of your labor, of your gifts, of your energy, of your service, et cetera, et cetera? Let me close with that. Heavenly Father, I confess, the ways that I am in selfish in what you have given me and how you have gifted me. I believe we all have idols that prevent us from wholehearted service in your church. And yet, Lord, we know the great benefits of serving. We know the great benefits of being served. Indeed, this letter to the Romans, one of the greatest book in the Bible, was delivered by a woman who served the church in a specific and sacrificial way. So I do pray, indeed, that you would forgive us of the ways that we have hoarded your blessings to ourselves. And will we grow and continue to grow as a faithful congregation, seeking ways to serve and to love others, to be a deacon and a patron in the church, to be a servant and to be a helper to one another, knowing, in fact, that you came first to serve us, not to be served. And would we, your children, your adopted sons and daughters, come with that same heart of wholehearted service to you, in the church that you have placed us. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.